Jesus. I pray that your heart is open to him, that you invite his presence. It's not just some mist or some substance, it's himself. The Holy Spirit is not a part of something that just happens around God. That's his glory. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is God. It's the person of God who comes to occupy the space of our heart. And I know many times our hearts get full of all kinds of things. Life seems to demand it of us, doesn't seem to give us an option or a choice in the matter. But if we're not careful, there's a whole lot of stuff that we just begin to absorb, burdens that we start to carry, mindsets and emotions that begin to saturate our lives that really aren't his presence. And you can always tell when that's happening, because life will squeeze you a certain way, and all of a sudden what kind of comes out of your mouth might not be what the Holy Spirit would have said, if you know what I mean. And if you don't, that's good. Maybe you'd want to come up here and you should be the one talking this morning. Because every once in a while, life just pushes you. And if your emotions are governing your life and you're led by how you feel, the way this culture has been programmed to live their lives, then you're going to respond emotionally. You're going to be volatile. You're going to be everything that makes for a good TV show or a good TV series or a good movie. We're moved by the dramatic. Somehow, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to follow the same script that seems to be fine. As long as it's on a screen, on a wall, or in a movie theater, we figure, oh, whatever they're doing, that must be fine. It's on the wall. It's got to be sanctioned or approved, or it must be okay. We've got to remember who it is that created us, who it is that gave us his Spirit, his Word, to live by, to study, to understand who he is, to be able to be moved, overwhelmed by his presence. He's an amazing Savior that we serve, and I hope you know him this morning. And if you don't, I hope that this atmosphere, sense of his presence and worship was something that just maybe just got a few question marks circulating around in your mind, to just begin to ask and begin to study and begin to dig a little deeper. It says, if you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, the promise is that you'll be satisfied. You'll find him. So keep seeking, if that's you this morning. But for those of us who know him, received him, he's given us his Holy Spirit to live a life that allows us to have stability in the midst of a whole lot of stuff that's not stable. And life comes at us and storms happen and all different kinds of things go on, but we're not of the world, therefore we don't act like the world. Did you know that you're not of the world? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We've been born again of a spiritual seed that allows us to live a life here on earth that's otherworldly. Anybody want to live an otherworldly life? It's a lot more fun than just the one that starts when you're born and ends when you die. There's a whole other realm of existence that I believe God's been opening our hearts to as a church, that we've had some amazing speakers who've come through in the past month and just shared their angle on what they see in their ministries and what they're doing. And the common thread is, it's all around the supernatural. It's all around the Spirit. It's all around the part of God that is not something we can understand with just our natural minds, that we need the Holy Spirit of understanding to take the package off, to take the wrapper off, so we can truly begin to understand what it is that he wants to show us, because we can only understand it by the Spirit. And we've had some powerful meetings here in the past month or so, and it's been interesting for me to listen and take notes and just absorb some of what's been said here. But I just want to, I don't want to say review, because then everybody just turns off their, oh, they heard this before. But if that's the one thing we've heard throughout, is that we can't afford to not go back and relook at some of the things that we heard before, we thought we knew, but we don't know them as we ought to know them. I know that was Pastor Andy Elms from England. He came here and he really encouraged us. We had two special meetings on Friday night, Saturday night, and then on Sunday, both services, that, you know, the man who says he knows, let him know that he doesn't know as he ought to know. Because until we're walking in the fullness of what God's made available to us, do you know there's more? Is that okay to say that? There's more. It's wonderful and we're grateful and we're so thankful for what he's revealed to us, but don't you know there's so much more? He's an endless, infinite God, and he's the same now as he ever was. And he wants to do with his body what he's always wanted to do, and as he's wanted to use the church is called the body of Christ. It's his bride. It's the part of him that's here on earth full of the Holy Spirit to go and to do what he needs us to do. He wants us to know him. He wants us to follow him. But he wants us to be useful in the world while we're here. He wants us to make connections. He wants us to, you know, maybe step on each other's toes a little bit. Maybe get in each other's space a little bit. It's okay. We have the Spirit of grace to allow us to begin to just go a little deeper than just what's comfortable, what makes our five senses happy, and to begin to go into that realm of the supernatural. I so appreciate we've got Cordo's, Pastor David and Nolia doing the School of the Supernatural downstairs here on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. And, you know, it's just great to see how many folks are in that classroom just wanting to know more. Like, what is it that's beyond just the natural realm? Because we're not born again of a natural seed, right? The very being born again experience is of a supernatural seed, an incorruptible seed. We're not born of flesh and blood only. We're born again of the Spirit. And so if we're going to really walk out this life that we're called to as believers in a supernatural spirit being, then we have to let our senses take the proper position and just begin to embrace the Spirit of truth who comes to reveal to us everything that God has sent him to reveal. To remind us of the words that Jesus spoke. If you take the supernatural out of the New Testament and the book of Acts, you just have empty pages. If I was just reading through thinking, you know, it's amazing. I've never heard someone, the closest you can hear it is when someone will preach a message on the Sermon on the Mount. Like, Jesus didn't call it that. We've called it that. As he's teaching them there, They'll kind of go through what he said, but even then they'll embellish it and add illustrations and kind of make it live, you know, is what preachers are supposed to do. We're supposed to take the word and make it alive. Think about that for a minute. This is life. What's a human being with a mouth going to say to life to make it live? This is eternal life. This is supernatural life. The word is in the beginning with God. By that word, everything that was made. Nothing was made without that word in action. The Holy Spirit hovering, waiting for the command of the Father to speak and to activate everything into existence. But a preacher is supposed to go back to the book and to have cool illustrations and cool stories and try to make it relative, make it relevant. And I've just been just stirring in my spirit thinking, really, is that what we need? Do we need better illustrations? Do we need better? We've got some of the most amazing authors on planet Earth right now. The most amazing teachers. You can check almost any channel out on a Sunday morning and pick one. Many of them are saying just the word, but I feel like it's relevant. I can connect to it. I can relate to it. What if the fact is the Holy Spirit is the only entity on the planet that can make this word alive on the inside of us? What if we can hear all the best sermons and have all the best speakers come to our church, and at the end of all that we've heard and absorbed and took notes on and studied and all those things are good, but what if at the end of all that, all we have is a thicker notebook or more marks in our Bible or more highlights if we have a tablet or something that's electronic? What if after that, all we have is more color in the outlines of our YouVersion Bible app, but we haven't, no change has come. The word came this morning that no change has hit us on the inside where the Spirit brings life and brings his fruit, the love, the joy, the peace, the things that this world just doesn't have, that they're trying to find through medications and better relationships and better jobs, all the things that they're trying to find out there somewhere. What if the reality is we just simply have to believe that he's already made it available to us to embrace by the Spirit right now without another message, without another laying on of hands, without another DVD series, without another great song that just breaks all the records and hits all the charts, and in a month, every church in the West is singing their song. What if it doesn't need any more of that? What if it just needs those who say they're believers to believe what's been written? I'm just sharing with you what the Lord's challenging me in. What if we truly went back to the basics that we've heard? Every speaker kept saying the same thing, going back to the basics, going back to what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to receive the incorruptible seed of the Spirit rather than just the one that we were born with from our natural parents? What does that look like? We have the book to show us. It looks like Jesus. Looks like the apostles. It looks like those who were born of the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. We've got it documented and recorded. All we've got to do is either believe it or not believe it. And when we begin to believe it, we begin to move towards it. It might not happen in a moment. It might not happen in one service where all of a sudden it's just like the multitudes are flocking to you because now you have this miraculous ability to heal cancer or something. Maybe it's a process. Maybe it's glory to glory. Maybe it's strength to strength. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit molding us and shaping us and maturing us into the fullness of who Christ is. But what if we're not even making ourselves available to that or facing in that direction? It doesn't just happen by default. I've been listening to the speakers who we've had here, and I'm going through and recognizing there's this common thread about the very basic things that we all say we know. But as I wrote the scripture here, as Andy said, is if anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. 1 Corinthians 8:2. That's a pretty bold statement. You know, if you preach that one a few weeks in a row, you probably wouldn't have too many people left. If I just went and Jesus, remember, Jesus, the Son of God, is speaking to multitudes, Jews and unbelievers. He's out in no microphone, just preaching from boats to hillsides, up on mountains, down the hills. He's just preaching in the very rural places, no amphitheaters, nothing special, no. He's got to use everything that he's got to make this connect, right? He's got to use the best illustrations. He has to find the best way to try to make his message live. And there's just no frills to anything that he says. We could read through Matthew 5. We just read through the Sermon on the Mount. We think, if you aired that on a Sunday morning and had the best orator just go through and read that, people would tune it off after the first day. But this is boring. This is like us all straight Bible. Crazy. But you know one of the signs of the last generation group of believers, called believers, were going to be? That they have itching ears, looking for just the next new thing that was supposed to do the trick. That regeneration by the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the grave didn't quite finish on the inside of them when they believed. I don't need any more stories. I don't need any more illustrations. I just got to get before my Lord and say, help me to believe. Deal with this unbelief that still seems to circulate back and come back in front. No matter what I see, there still seems to be this ability to doubt the living word, the one who's not a man that he should lie, the one who knows the beginning from the end, the author and the finisher, the Alpha, the Omega, the King of all kings, the name above every name. That one apparently lives inside me by the Spirit. We could ever get the depth of that simple truth, we wouldn't have time for another message. We'd be so busy out there just loving people, we wouldn't be able to come to church. We'd be like, sorry, I'll try to get there next week. It's just too amazing what God's doing. He's just doing what Jesus did. When you read the things that happen in the words in red, if you have a red letter edition, that's what he's using me to do. And I know that's what the bride of Christ looks like in the last days because the book says so. I know that we don't look like the world. I know that it reveals that we're in this world, but we have a different set of ways that we handle stress. We have a different set of responses to rejection, to insult, to offense, to everything that the world pours out upon us, and they certainly do a good job of knowing how to push the buttons. But I truly believe that what Jesus is doing to his bride this season on planet Earth is he's getting us ready. He's shoring us up. He's bringing us back to the foundational reality that he loves us, that he has called us, that he has saved us, he has redeemed us. He's provided for every spiritual blessing that we will need to get through this battle that's in front of us, that maybe you're in already. That there's not the next amazing message you need to hear. It's getting back into that secret place where you can learn how, as Andy put it, lean in to the Holy Spirit. Just to be able to realize he's only one dimension away. Think about that. We're so three-dimensional. We're so 3D. But what if he's just one spiritual dimension away? What if there's that thin veil and he's just right there? What if in the spirit there's no time or distance? It's not how many times you have to go to church. There's nothing you can do to accumulate enough points to finally qualify to go beyond it. What if it's just a simple childlike faith? What if that's what Jesus meant when he said, if you don't become as a child, you'll miss the kingdom? You won't see it, he says. It'll be there, but you won't see it. The kingdom's now within us. And I just want to encourage us all this morning that I feel like in times of worship, in times in your personal devotion, reading the word, in your personal times of prayer, driving to work, from work, to whatever you're doing, to just continue to let God be God and to listen for those small leadings that say, hey, you know that phrase that you keep running over through your mind? Oh, when I see them, this is what I'm going to say. What if we could hear his voice for a minute? And if he says, it's not worth your time, let it go. I got bigger things for you to accomplish today. I wonder how quick a day could turn around, how quick a relationship could turn around, how quick a job situation could turn around if the things that we think are big in our little 3D world are actually small compared to what he wants to show us just one dimension away. We have communion today, and so I'm not going to dive into a long message. I just wanted to review a few of the things that have been said here in this church that Andy spoke about. It's not just Christ that's in us, but we're in Christ now. We could meditate on that for the rest of our lives. What does it mean when I look out and I see a tree? If I'm looking with Christ's eyes, I'm looking at something that should have some echo in the distant place of my spirit of remembering how that was created. Remembering how, the spirit's timeless. You never look at a tree the same. You never look at a person the same. They bear his image. A tree doesn't really. It's just his handiwork, unless it's a really nice shaped tree. Yeah, what if when you look at that person that's just under your skin, what if you could see for just a moment? Remember, the same Spirit that raised Christ, the Holy Spirit, right? He was there in the beginning. Nothing was made without him. What if he remembers when that recipe was coded for? When that person's recipe was written down? And those nucleotides were going to line up in just the right way. And that exact sperm was going to make that exact egg. And he knew you before time began. It says he knew us before time started. And we're about to just unload on them a whole bunch of rubbish. Because we've forgotten to look with his eyes. We've forgotten to let that, I'd say mystical, but I guess I just said it already. That mystical, spiritual, I'm not trying to make this live. Trust me, I'm just trying to raise our awareness of what's already here, what's already been given. That maybe we know a lot, but maybe we don't know it all as we ought. I'm sharing what he's speaking to me. This isn't anything that's just for you and I have it all figured out. What if we don't lead anything new, but we just got to relearn what we thought we had already learned? Leaning into the Holy Spirit. John 15, the vine and the branch. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. The same sap that flows through the vine flows into the branch. If we're connected to him, if we abide in him and his word abides in us, it's not just one or the other, it's both. He's in us, we're in him. Then we're going to bear much fruit, right? We're not going to strain at this. We're not going to try to find new ways to do it and new books to scriptures to memorize. We're just going to do what the book says. And if the book says to do it this way, that's how we're going to do it. This is a simple program. But I feel like religion and people in a good intent to just try to make it relevant and try to help people understand, they've missed the fact that only the Holy Spirit can truly open up and have the Word of God pop open off the page and impact you supernaturally the way that it was designed to do. Bruce Vanetta came and it was such a powerful time. He was with us Sunday morning and then we had a Sunday night healing service here and I got to be a part of that and see some really incredible things. And it was just such a powerful thing to be a part of. In fact, anyone that was here on that Sunday night service with Bruce Vanetta, if you were part of that prayer time that happened from 8 to 10, where we were gathered around people and just speaking to those mountains that were in their lives, if you were a part of that, would you please come up after service? I just want to be able to just say a few things to you. The first service, there was about 5 people that came up. They were there as part of that. It's not exclusive just for those folks, but I want to start with those because we just were here and experiencing something very clear about speaking to the mountain. Jesus never prayed for anybody to get well or to get healed. Did you know that? He never prayed for a single one. He spoke to the issue and it was fixed. He simply spoke to it, says with his finger he could do things, but when it was time for him to speak, he didn't pray and hope that the Father was going to do what he was praying for. He spoke to those mountains. It's a real shift in an exercise of our faith when we begin to speak to issues. But it was a powerful time, and we're going to try to just foster that. I believe that something shifted in my heart and in the people that I've spoken with who are part of that, that this is really how the body needs to heal the body. And I love the illustration that Bruce gave. He said, if I cut my hand, what's going to happen? It's going to bleed. It wasn't a trick question. It was just, it was that simple. It was really, we're going basic today. It's going to bleed. It's going to hurt. Then it's going to bleed. And then what's going to happen? The blood's going to clot. It's going to slow down, right? The bleeding's going to stop. Hopefully it's not too big. You didn't go too deep. Might need a bandage on there. But the bleeding's going to stop. And then what's going to happen? The body's going to what? It's what's going to do the healing? the body's going to heal itself. Doctors can't heal a cut. They can put stitches in it so that you understand. Is that too simple? I'm glad we don't pass a basket. We just trust that people will give at the welcome desk, because I think if you put money in the basket, maybe you feel like you got ripped off today. The body's going to heal itself. The body's going to heal itself. The body's going to heal itself. Is there any weirdness in that? It's just, we all know this to be true, right? Yes, it could get infected. There's things that could inhibit the healing, but no one else has to do anything. You don't have to look at it every day. You don't have to talk to it. The body's going to heal itself. It's just how it was designed. We're the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. His Spirit lives in the bride. The church is the body of Christ, not just the building or people in it, but those who believe that are in the building is the church. The body of Christ needs to learn how to begin to heal itself by the same way it was designed, by the same creator that designed our natural bodies. He has designed us spiritually to be able to be healed in a gathering around. What we had was a gathering around of the rest of the body to begin to speak life into the part of the body that was injured, broken, whatever the issue was in that person's life, that we were speaking to their mountain, that it needed to change and it needed to move. And we saw some amazing things, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but I just want, if you were there and you were part of that group, you know how impacting that was and how great it was to celebrate with some of those miracles that happened right in front of our faces as we just simply began to do what the Bible says to do and to model what Jesus did. It's great to talk about things. It's great to learn about things, but there comes a time when we have to begin to implement what it is we've been given. And Bruce Vanetta had questions before the 8 o'clock time when we started to minister. He spoke for 2 hours about healing, about, you know, you give someone a fish, you feed them for a meal, you give them a fishing pole and teach them how to fish, you feed them for a lifetime, right? Just a simple little basic thing we've probably all heard. But he began to just bring that and hound it so hard that we began to realize what he wanted to do is just help us as the body of believers begin to realize we have the God-given mandate and the capacity to begin to speak and minister healing to those who are injured in the body. And so as we began to do that, it was just something powerful that began to shift. And I just want to make sure that everyone that was a part of that knows, whether you were prayed for or whether you were in that circle, after service, if you can find a few minutes, we want to begin to not make a formula or new way of how we're going to always pray for people, but just to recognize there's a revelation in that reality that the body can heal the body, because the same Spirit, remember, the same blood that's flowing through our body can heal our body. The same blood of the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, has now cleansed their temple so that that spiritual blood that's flowing through the body of believers can begin to flow to those areas of need as we begin to stand in faith together. So I know I'm a little all over the place, even though I'm just trying to follow something simple as reviewing who's been speaking lately. Did I leave something unfinished? I feel like I left something unfinished, but okay. My wife says I'm okay, then I'm okay. We have to begin to implement the stuff that's already been given. And so 8 o'clock, he said, any questions before we start just seeing God do some miracles tonight? And so random questions were popping off, and one person said, what does it mean to implement? Because he had said we need to implement what God has just taught us and put it, you know, into practice. And I forget what the definition was, just something to the effect of take what you have and put it into action. Begin to take what's already available, what you already possess, and begin to use it in the way that it needs to be used. And there's so many examples we can think of. For me, I like dramatic, so I think of a skydiver with a parachute on his back, and he has a little thing called a ripcord. And who knows that it's best if he pulls that ripcord at some point in his descent from the airplane to the ground. Who knows that he has everything that he needs in his grasp to be able to keep from a splat on the runway. My daughter shouldn't laugh. I expect my sons to laugh. No one's going to splat on the runway because we've right before, even much they, maybe they're thinking, I don't know, she loves me not. Maybe they're going through it on the way down. But at some point, they usually pull that thing called a ripcord, and it implements the parachute which was attached to them to be able to bring them safely down to the ground. So there's no drama. It looks dramatic, and everyone's like, oh, I hope so, and then they do it, and it's like all pretty at the end. That's how it's supposed to work anyway. It's the same in the spirit realm. It says that he's given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. By the Spirit, the wealth of heaven has been added to our account through what Jesus did on that cross. For those who believe, this is only for those who believe and have accepted Christ and are walking according to what he's taught us. But because he's made that available, we can have it all. We can know it all. We can know where it's kept. We can know it's strapped right on our back. But if we don't activate it, if we don't, in moments of, I don't know, should I, shouldn't I, if we don't move towards the issue that needs to be spoken to, but we shrink back and we move away from it, we're not activating, we're not implementing what it is that God's made available to us. And I believe as the body of Christ in this day that we live in this crazy world where they're all shaking and they're all over the place, we have to be those who are standing firm, who are shored up on our foundations and who know who our God is. We know that the mountain doesn't move us. We speak to the mountain and it moves and follows our voice. And we're going to implement the things that we've known for maybe generations and decades, but we're hearing them all again fresh. And I would just ask you to open your ears, even if it seems like a message. I was almost guilty of this myself. You know, give a person a fish, feed them for a day. Give them a fishing pole, teach them to fish, feed them for a lifetime. I thought this is going to be hard to stay awake during this message, you know, at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night. But because the Spirit was breathing on it, it's such a simple truth, but God wants to teach us how to do things so that we don't always have to be throwing up these Hail Mary prayers. Oh, God, please, I need this, I need. Maybe he wants to train us up to be those who can go around meeting some of those needs as the implements that he has to meet and speak to some of the needs on planet Earth. And so I'm just encouraged, I feel like I always do, get in the Word. If you're not in the Bible, read the living Word. Read what's been recorded. The author is worth reading. I don't care what version or translation you read, begin to be hungry for what that author might want to say to you. Maybe he doesn't just want to say it to the person at the other end of the row that you're sitting in. Maybe he wants to say it to you. And if it's simple and it's basic, just pray about how do I implement this, not just gloss over it because I know I heard about it and I took notes on it and I'm pretty sure I already got that down. Just ask Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, just show me again. What did you mean when you recorded this? What does that mean for me right now? You watch. Some of the depths of revelation he can speak to our lives is just going back to the most simple things, like he loves us, like for God so loved the world. Even your boss, even the mechanic that ripped you off. Ooh, that one could sting, couldn't it? I have a hard time with those guys. That's why I work on all my own stuff now. Except for Cliff. Cliff's good, man. He's a good man. You got any cards on you? I can. My brother Rich. It's going to lead us in a time of communion. Now, let's just open our hearts and just let it be fresh. Let's remember how it is that we have access to this abundant life.